IronOverload.io presents Iron Overload No Bullshit Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the UG info like you've never heard before. No bullshit, no lies, straight hardcore truth. A bodybuilding podcast like you never heard before. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
IronOverload.io Hardcore Episode 73 coming your way. Today is an updated 2024 Carterine GW501516 SARMS Revisited. So this is going to be an interesting one. We're going to give you the up-to-date information on GW. Now, it's important for me to start this off by giving you the fact. And the fact is that GW is not a SARM, but it's sold as a SARM. It's stacked with SARMs. And we refer it to a SARM, you know, and it's kind of like a tomato. A lot of people will call a tomato a vegetable when it's actually a fruit. There's a lot of similar things like that. Zucchini is also a fruit. It is not a vegetable. Cucumber is also a fruit, not a vegetable. But we refer to these things maybe in a different way when it's being sold in the supermarket. You'll find tomatoes in the vegetable section. You won't find them in the fruit section, for example, for a reason. It's just the way we look at it. But GW, look, it's a drug. And people always ask me, like, Steve, you know, what is GW? Is it a hormone? Is it a, you know, is it a compound? What is it? And I'm like, well, look, straight up, the way they designed it, it's a drug. It was literally designed by a drug company to be a drug. It wasn't extracted from hormones. And it's a drug that binds to the PPAR receptor. And it was first created by GlaxoSmithKline and Ligand Pharmaceuticals back in the early 90s. They discovered carterine. They binded the PPAR receptor. They recruit what's called a coactivator PGC1A enzyme. Increases the expression of genes involved in the expenditure of energy. And when they first started experimenting on carterine on rodents, they noticed an increase of fatty acid metabolism and increased protection against obesity, even on a bad diet. And they also had increased protection from type 2 diabetes. So another study, this was done on monkeys, and the carterine was shown to increase HDL, good cholesterol, and decrease LDL, bad cholesterol. So a reason for this effect appeared to be caused by an increased expression of the cholesterol transporter ABCA1. So carterine activates the same genetic pathways that are involved in exercise. So it's basically exercise in a bottle. That was the intent of this. So it was also studied for use in treating cardio disease before its development was halted, and they halted the development in 2007. And we have a lot of theories as to why they halted the development. Look, at the end of the day, lots of drugs out there get halted. We've seen lots of SARMs get halted over the years. It's just the way it is. Whatever they're trying to accomplish in the process, they're not getting what they want, maybe for financial reasons. Maybe they found something that they didn't like. Something went on there that they didn't like, but it doesn't matter, because what happened was athletes and bodybuilders, and especially Olympians, this is the 2008 Olympics in Beijing. This is what got GW on the map, because during those Olympics, athletes got a hold of this stuff. They have, you know, got to remember, they have the best coaches. They have the insider information. They know everything, okay? These guys and gals try to get an edge on each other. Think about it. They've been training for this shit their whole life. This is their life, okay? This is their job. Their trainers want to make money and want to make a living off of having these high-profile clients. So they're going to give them what they can give them. And what happened was, based on all this research over the last, whatever it was, you know, 15 years, they said, you know what? There's this drug that's exercise in a bottle. I need to get it. And they got it. And a lot of them were using it. Whoever knew about it was on it, I can assure you. And we know a lot of documented instances where people were on it during those Olympics. It was not banned by the Olympics yet. They didn't even know about this stuff. And then the next year is when they finally were able to test for it. So that they shut that off as food and scandals because this stuff was so effective when it comes to giving you these benefits. And Mobster and I are going to get into that on this podcast, that they had to ban it because it was giving people an unfair advantage over their peers. If you were on this stuff and your opponent wasn't on this stuff, you were going to blow them away. And looking back as an endurance athlete, as I was back in the let me try to think here. Yeah, mid to late 2000s is when I was in endurance sports and competing. I wonder how many people I competed against were on this stuff. Because if I knew about this stuff back then, whew, it would have been a different ball game. Because I remember some of these dudes that I would go up against, they were something special. And I wonder how many of them were on it. Mobster, I'll talk about that a little bit, and then we'll get into more what carnering is used for.
Let me refer to the idea that research was stopped, right? Steve Spring and I have covered this on other shows where I've pointed out that there are something like between 100 and 121, something like that, Steve, anabolic steroids. But literally, how many do we realistically talk about? 20, 20, 25, something like that? Probably less, Steve, probably under 20, because the reality of the situation is thus. Research not necessarily stopped because something's horrendous, like a leg fell off, or we had a drug test in this country, Steve, where all the fellas turned black and they had to throw God knows what at them to get them to survive. One nearly died and all this kind of stuff. It wasn't for that reason, even. It's not even for, and we will touch upon this, the quote unquote cancer risk. It was literally that there will be other options. They've got other tests on other products being made at exactly the same time, different research within a company, different research elsewhere, and a better option to treat a specific medical condition came along, whether it was further down the road of research with more money invested, or literally that the results were better, or even sometimes, Steve, that the ex item that was being used to treat a medical condition already existed worked better than the cardarine. It's as simple as that sometimes. It's not necessarily that, oh, this is a dangerous drug or whatever else. So that there's one. I think the other one is, Steve, and I'm thinking, for example, the Olympic reference that you made earlier on. As we know, there was stuff like EPO. There was people that were having blood drawn and then put back into their bodies and so on and so forth to try and get around some of the drugs that had been banned. For example, guys, and I know a lot of you will know this already, you're literally not allowed to have above a certain level of caffeine. I believe the limit for Olympic level testing is 300 milligrams a day, whereas the normal limit for the average individual recommended is 400 milligrams. So we know it works in certain situations of the certain athletes. But if they test you and you've got 600 or 700 or 800 or whatever, above a certain percentage in your blood visible when they've been tested and so on and so forth, then they consider you getting too much of an advantage over your fellow athletes. So quite often what happens is that certain drugs are banned, and cardarine probably wasn't even on the ban list at that particular time, Steve. It comes along, it replaces an option that has been banned, was easy to test for, and the athletes grab it with both hands and say, "This is fantastic." I don't doubt for a second it's been banned since, but it wasn't banned at the time, and it would have replaced something that was banned. So sometimes it's as simple as that. In terms of its effectiveness, etc., and how it works, and feedback that we get, and so on and so forth, when we get into that, guys, you're going to hear just how effective and just how useful it is. Back to you, Steve.
So let's get a little bit more into this in this cartering. And look, at the end of the day, you're listening to this podcast so far, you're like, well, it sounds like cartering's good for Olympians, it's good for long distance athletes. How can it help me? I'm a weightlifter. It's not gonna help me. And I'd recommend this. I'd recommend get like one of those Apple watches or get one of those heart rate monitor things and strap it to you during your weight training session. You'll actually notice during your weight training session, your heart rate will spike into a set. Like someone like Mobster who trains heavy, his heavy sets, even if he's doing one or two rep maxes or three reps, You know, his heart rate will be elevated during that. So by taking cardarine, it's not a stimulant. And Mobster mentioned caffeine, and I'm glad he did, because this isn't GW. GW is not caffeine here. GW is not a stimulant. It's the opposite of a stimulant. And I'll explain why. Because what GW does, when you take a stimulant like caffeine, like a lot of people mistakenly do before a workout, which is one of the dumbest things you can do, is take stimulants before a workout. But most of you out there do it because you don't understand the way the body works. So if you're doing that, you need to stop doing it. But then I'll explain why. Because when you take a stimulant, your heart rate goes up going into a workout. Then when you're doing the exercise, your heart rate goes up even more. And once you're in, you can only get your heart rate up a certain amount, percentage-wise, before your body goes under a lot of stress. So by taking stimulants before a workout, you're stressing your body out more. And effectively, what you're doing is you're reducing the ability of you getting and pushing yourself more than you could push yourself. And you're not going to understand this until you get one of those Apple watches or you get one of those heart rate monitors that track your heart rate, and you study what happens to your heart rate during a workout. Your heart rate goes up during a workout, especially when you're doing a very strenuous and you're pushing yourself hard type of workout. If you're doing a half-ass workout where you're half-assing everything, which I do here and there. Yesterday, I had a really shitty workout. I felt tired. I went in there and I half-assed it. So my heart rate's not going to get pushed. But on those days you're really pushing it and you want to really push yourself hard and really get really, get a PR or something, those are the days your heart rate really goes up. So by taking a stimulant, you're going to push yourself to your maximum heart rate a lot easier, which isn't a good thing. Cardarine does the opposite. Cardarine allows you to push more, longer, without, getting your heart rate elevated as much. So you're able to push that extra bit. You see what I'm saying? So it's going to benefit you, not just when it comes to running or Olympic track and field or any of this stuff. It's also going to help you in the weight room because you're going to be able to push out that extra rep that when you're, oh my God, you're on that eighth or ninth rep and you're pushing and your heart rate's like boom, 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 boom. Well, cardarine will get your heart rate down because it's going to allow you to push more, okay? Because it's going to change the way your body's using those energy, right? So it's going to push you more. So cardarine, switching from taking a stimulant before a workout to taking cardarine before a workout is going to be like night and day. You'll be very, very impressed. I mean, like at the end of the day, look, a lot of you take these pre-workouts and you're like, what's going on here? Why do I feel dizzy during my workout? Why do I feel this? Why my heart rate racing? Well, because the pre-workout has tons of stimulants in there, not just caffeine, but other stimulants.
Oh,
So
so
it's a
many.
mistake. But here's a flip side. A lot of you are addicted to these stimulants, that where when you stop taking the stimulants, you go into your workout and you're like, oh, I'm half asleep. I'm half asleep. Because you've got yourself addicted to these stimulants. So it's like you got to take the stimulants because you're addicted to them or you can't work out. So you got to wean yourself off these stimulants. So GW would actually be a great idea to start taking to help you wean yourself off these stimulants at the same time, because it's kind of like going to kind of offset maybe those negative side effects you get off being addicted to stimulants. So I strongly recommend, if you're a person that you need something, I need something before a workout. Because I'm sure our ancestors 100,000 years ago, when a cougar or a puma showed up in your camp, they needed something to get up and escape from the puma. They needed to take something. Hold on, puma. Hold on, puma. I gotta take my pre-workout before you attack me. I'm sure that's what they did. But look, at the end of the day, guys, it's all about being mentally strong in this game. We gotta be mentally strong. We gotta teach ourselves to be strong. So really, at the end of the day, if you need to take something, GW would be something much, much better that you can take before your workout than taking stimulants. So that's where it can help you before your workouts. Mobster?
Yeah, I mean, look, guys, I mean, I certainly agree with Steve in terms of the whole pre-workout issue. Absolutely, Steve. And I will also say, let me touch on that very briefly because it's a bugbear of mine as well, Steve. you're talking quite often with some products, your caffeine intake for the day in one serving. You've got people that dry scoop that shit and then wonder why they get upset stomachs. There's an it, the companies, in order to compete, almost it's like selling crack cocaine, Steve, in terms of every single one seems to claim this is the most powerful, when there are literally legal limits for some of the things they can put in there, and they've all got the legal limit in, so therefore you're the same as the next Joe and the next Joe and the next Joe. And then you've got a bunch of products that are ingredients that are added to some of these things, literally so you can feel it working. If I slap you in the face and give you a cup of coffee, you're going to feel it working. It's a bit silly. There are certain things in there that have an energetic effect, make and might improve the workout, and some that just literally make you feel the product working. Be like having a tingly finger with every time you took a painkiller. Oh, I can feel it working. You don't need a tingly finger. You just don't want a headache. It doesn't make any sense with some of these things. And there's an awful lot of people, too many people. And then these things that sell incredibly well, but there's too many people who can't train unless they feel stimulated. My training session this morning, Steve, was 2 wheat biscuits and a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and then the gym, right? So, I don't need to have pre-workouts. I don't need to have excessive stims. I'm a big fan of coffee. Steve is not, for the reasons he's just stated. So it's a bit ridiculous. On the feedback with Cardarine, the sense of, I think, a description, and I'll refer to the article that we're going to associate with this podcast, is this sense of having that little tiny bit more energy. And I think Steve's analogy of, you hit 8 reps, 9 reps, or whatever else, now you feel like you can do 10, 11 reps. You get to that point in a workout and you look at the clock and you actually realize your hour's workout's only taking you 50 minutes. You do 3 sets, but you now feel like you can do 4 sets. And this is not necessarily a buzzing, stimulatory effect that you would get from certain pre-workouts or whatever else. It's just literally a sense of more energy and a capability of getting a little bit further into the volume and so on and so forth. There's an argument to be made for fat burning, Steve, because we know for a fact that there's an increased glucose uptake in the skeletal muscle, which aids the fat burning process. And there's also an element to being able to do more cardio, run that little bit further if you do a 5K, now it's 5.5K, and so on and so forth. So it's just enabling you to burn more calories in that particular way. So again, feedback on Cardarine, especially at the right dosages, and we're going to get to that as well, is unbelievable, Steve. I would probably say, and I think literally in the last 24 hours, I've seen one comment which suggests to me that perhaps they haven't actually got Cardarine. And that's the only negative I can think of in recent years. I would probably say that 99% out of 100 people say that Cardarine is effective when used at the correct dosages, and especially so if their diet and their training and their push is on point and they are pushing hard in the gym. Because it's not a drug, it's not a medication. You can sit on a sofa and it's going to work. You've still got to get off your ass and go out there and do the work, but it's going to let you do more work. It's a symptom. You don't suddenly put 5, 10, 15 kilos or another plate on the bar. It's not like that. And equally, I've actually done a product, Steve, back in the day. It was a German fat burner that was sent to me when I ran my magazine. And that shit had me, my hands were shaking. It's not like that either. It's not going to have you buzzing. It's not like Clen. It's kind of almost in its own category in this particular way. So yeah, there's that thing. Let me address the elephant in the room now, Steve. Purely and simply because it is an elephant in the room, and it comes up every so often in the forums. And it's almost at the point now of us hearing about it in 2024, it becomes kind of laughable. And I've even argued with a quote unquote expert, and you know who I'm referring to. We don't have him on the forums anymore. He was just annoying about the quote unquote cancer risk that was associated with Cardarine. All right. So the I'm going to put it in simple terms. And again, this is not a medical thing. We talk about not being doctors when we talk about the bit at the end of the podcast that we do on every show. But it's as simple as this, right? I will say, and I think I'm quite safe for me representing myself to say this, that the cancer risks are extremely low to non-existent. Why can I say that? Right. And I will talk about the reasons why people still bring it up. In all the years, including since the Olympics that Steve mentioned earlier on, I have yet to hear of one single example in the media, and the media love to take a headline. They love to take a snippet, a line from a study, and throw it out there. So the media hasn't done it. I haven't seen a single example of this being represented on the forums, not even in the families, bless them, that might have a history of cancer in those families. We have yet, in all this time that Steve and I have been doing his podcast, certainly since I've been on the Evo family forums, and all the goddamn time I've been lifting and paying attention to what goes on in the Iron Game, etc., not seen one single example of someone who said that I used Carterine and I got cancer. Not one. There must be, Steve, hundreds of thousands of users. The Olympic athletes, just say the Olympic Games that Steve referred to. Let's say there was 400 athletes. Maybe 100, maybe 200 were using something like that, Steve. Not one. Not one Olympic athlete. Not one headline, not nothing. So hand on heart, in the time scale that we're talking about, with the number of users, percentage-wise, some of those users would have got cancer for one reason or another. And yet not one time have I heard of an association with Carterine in that example. So why does it get mentioned? It gets mentioned thus, and I argued this with the expert. And I say expert because he was actually very good in his field at the time. And he was quoting the way that these studies were done. And I quoted the same thing back to him. I said, look, in the study, you use animals. And in this example, I believe the animals were mice. And you have a way of testing any drug that's going to market by giving the animals, the mice, a dosage equivalent to way past the useful amount for a human being to use for performance enhancement purposes, and you keep pushing the amount that you're giving the mice, the mouse, the mice, to the point where side effects begin to occur. And I believe there's a scientific term for it, which escaped me as I'm telling you this, Steve, but the long and the short of it is you do that. Now, for example, whether it made the mice piss a lot, maybe it made the mice's ears fall off, maybe they changed the color of their fur, whatever, right? You keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And the dosage that they were giving the mice, I think off the top of my head, Steve, and I'm doing this without referral, was 200 times the amount that you would give to the mouse. And the equivalent, for example, Steve, was something like a fucking kilogram for us as individuals, not a 20 milligram, but 200, what's that, Steve, 800 milligrams, something like that. It was some ridiculous number that was so far in excess of what works at giving us that sense of energy, that enabling us to run another kilometer, enabling us to do another couple of sets in the gym. It was 200 times that dosage. And we see on this podcast, when we talk about steroids specifically, we occasionally talk about the crazy cycles that we hear professionals are taking, the crazy stuff that people come up with. What's the craziest cycle you've ever heard of? We've never done a podcast where someone's used 200 times the amount of testosterone they should, or 200 times the amount of clean they should. There is literally no, I've not seen one single example, not even a troll, bless guys, and I don't want you to go out and troll me just because I've said this. I've not even seen a troll suggest that you need to take 200 times the effective dose of Carterine, because that would be absolutely fucking crazy and a 0 point. And it's so far beyond the effective doses to be unreal. We've not seen one single example of that happening. And again, Steve and I have been doing this podcast for 5, 6, 7 years, Steve. We've hit 600 episodes on one of the things that we do. I've been around the Iron Game for coming up on 45 years this summer, and I still haven't seen someone say, yeah, you need to do 200 times the effective dose. No one. No one. The worst I've seen is double. Double. And again, it's literally the idea that if one pill makes me lean, then two pills will make me leaner. No one's done that. Literally, the only example I can think of, someone was talking about 40 to 50 milligrams a day of Carterine. And we said, no, you got so many times, in fact, this is how daft it is, Steve, so many times I see people talking about 10 milligrams, but it's actually neither of those numbers is the effective dose. The effective dose, which is pretty much, again, par for 99% of the listeners that are paying attention to this podcast, is right there in the middle, 20 milligrams. No one's saying take 200 times that. So again, 45 years of doing this, 6, 7 years, 8 years with Steve doing these shows on the forums, et cetera, et cetera. Not seen one news headline, not seen one study referred to, no one's produced evidence. And in fact, as often as not now, because it's become kind of laughable when the comments about cancer come up, you go, okay, go away, do some research, find me an example, bring it back here. And in fact, it would benefit the audience. It would benefit the reader, it would benefit the forum members to see something where it's actually been proven. And it has yet, I could probably put money on it, Steve. I could probably put $10, $15, $20 at it. If you find me an example, I will pay $20 to your local charity, whatever. Hasn't happened, hasn't needed to happen. Can't think of one example. Can you think of an example, Steve?
Well, I can, look, at the end of the day, lots of things out there cause cancer. Anabolic steroids, the androgenic effects of androgenic steroids fire up cancer cells. The estrogenic effects of certain anabolic steroids will fire up cancer as well. So lots of things out there fire up
absolutely,
cancer.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Look under your sink. Everyone listening to this, I bet you have carcinogenic things under your sink. These chemicals, these are forever chemicals. These chemicals you slowly inhale, even though
Steve, if you burn food, the part that becomes charcoalized, the burnt steak,
yes,
or the burnt pie crust, there's actually an argument to be made that those burnt bits consumed are carcinogenic. So look, guys, completely understand the need to test all drugs for safety purposes, absolutely, right? But it's kind of what annoys me in this particular regards. We go, okay, so we gave the mice 200 times the amount that we would ever recommend for a mouse, never mind a human being, and we did that to push it right to the extreme. And here's how fucked up the numbers are. I believe, and again, I'm doing this from memory, so quite happy to be corrected. I think it was something like 10% of the mice that were given 200 times the effective dose, 10% showed signs of cancer coming. In other words, they didn't develop cancer per se, but there was indications that cancer might occur in 10%, and that was at 200 times the dosage. So look, over-the-counter drugs, and I'll use caffeine and again ibuprofen, Advil, as you call it in America, right? So ibuprofen, for example, can cause irritation to the stomach lining at the dosages recommended for you to cure your headache or your aching elbow or your aching knee as an anti-inflammatory specifically, okay? You can actually have a medical condition with water. I can't remember what it's called, Steve, but if you take too much water in a short period of time, you can actually put yourself in hospital. Caffeine is an example again. 400 milligrams that I've mentioned before. 800 milligrams will give you heart arrhythmia, especially if it's taken in a short period of time. People that drink espressos all day long will have a heart rate higher than the person next to them, suddenly having a couple. And I've literally seen one example of a fella that took some powder at a party because he was a moron, not realizing that he was consuming the equivalent to 5 grams of caffeine, because he saw powder in a kitchen and took a scoop, hit it like a dickhead, thinking it was probably some other kind of powder, Steve, which we won't talk about, and ended up in hospital. And they had to flush the fuck out of him, and he could have died. His heart was racing 100 miles an hour, could have had brain swelling, et cetera, et cetera. Not realizing it wasn't what he thought it was, but it was actually 5,000 milligrams of caffeine. So there, and as Steve said, there are literally poisons in your house, cleaning products, and you use them all the time. You just don't drink the fuckers. So, yeah, I mean, the elephant in the room is kind of really a non-existent elephant in the room. The chances are incredibly small, and the numbers are just absolutely crazy for the amount of people that you've used and not seen anything. Right, so let me touch upon the dosage again. 99.9% of users, 20 milligrams. And Steve, what were we talking about here? Once a day? What do you think on that before we move on to anything else?
So, I mean, my best guess is we're talking a 24-hour half-life. So, once a day is fine. What I like to do on exercise days is like to take a dose about 2 or 3 hours before my workout, just to give me that extra little bump in the effects. And that seems to really, really be beneficial, because if you take it, you know, if you take it and then you work out in the next 2 or 3 hours, you're going to get more of an effect if you take it then wait 20 hours, then work out. You see what I'm saying? You're going to get a little bit of effect. But as you're taking it every day, it's not. Another misconception that guys think, and, you know, look, you know, God bless them. You know, these are meatheads. These are guys, they're not the brightest bulbs, you know, at Home Depot here, you know? And they don't really understand that this isn't a hormone. So with hormones, you obviously want to take them on a consistent basis, you know, based on the half-life, based on the active life, whatever. This way you kind of get a buildup in the system and a peak in the system. But look, with GW, it's a drug. You can literally take GW just on your workout days, 3 hours beforehand, and you get the effects during your workout. You don't have to take it every day, or you can take it like every other day. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. It's not a hormone that's shutting you down where we need to kind of we don't we have to kind of time restrict it where it's you got to take it for 10 weeks, then you got to come off for time on times, you know, time off times two because it's a hormone, it's shutting you down. GW is not a hormone, it's a drug. So it'd be just like someone out there who suffers from daily headaches. You suffer from daily headaches, so you take ibuprofen, right? Your doctor says, you know what, take a half of ibuprofen every day because you suffer from daily headaches. All right. But like on a day where you don't suffer from a headache, you don't take the ibuprofen. It's kind of like that. It's not a hormone. So there doesn't need to be a consistency towards this. So, and you could be flexible with it. You could take 10 milligrams 3 hours before your workout and then take the other 10 milligrams after your workout. You know what I'm saying? It's a drug. So treat it like a drug. It's not a hormone. You could be flexible with it. You can add it. You can run it solo. You can add it to a steroid. You can add it to a SARM. You could do whatever the hell you want with it. You could be flexible with it. There's no rule to this. And the only rule is if you're taking this stuff for fat loss. Now, if you're taking it for fat loss, it would
Yes.
be in your best
Yes.
interest to take it every day consistently. This way, your body's constantly in that mode of the energy expenditure. Now, we kind of said, I kind of said something earlier. Mobster kind of said something earlier. And I just want to clarify it, okay? Because that might be confusing. And I don't, you know, a lot of times you guys comment and you guys, you know, you make these smart ass comments trying to call us out for shit. So what I said earlier was true. What Mobster said earlier was true about exercise in a bottle and you can't sit there and just take it.
Yep.
There's the truth is somewhere in the middle. But here's the thing we've seen. From the rodent studies, and we've seen from anecdotal data from people who've used it, and we've seen from human studies even, that the harder you work out on this stuff and the
Yes.
better you eat on this stuff, the better your results are, both with fat loss
Absolutely.
and with cardio. So, can you sit on your ass and get results
Gets
on
punishment.
GW? Very, very
Yes.
little. Very, very little. I won't even waste my time. If you're a person, you just want to take it and sit on your ass, all things being equal, you would have some effects. But it's not going, it's going to, you're going to be wasting it. So you want to make sure on this stuff, you go out there and you bust your ass on this stuff. The more you exercise on it, the more effects you're going to get. The better you eat on it, the more effects you're going to get when it comes to fat
Yeah.
loss and cardio. So that's basically the way it's going to work with this. It's not a magic potion, as some of these guys on social will tell you, oh, take carnarine, you'll lose 50 pounds just by sitting on your ass. It's not.
No.
They're full of shit.
I mean, let me touch on this very briefly, guys. And it's going to sound a little like a bit of a diatribe, probably because it is. It's as simple as that. We've even talked about this on the forums. If someone suddenly invents a product, for example, an erection drug that works, you take one pill and it works forever, even when you're in the coffin, that motherfucker would be a billionaire tomorrow. If there was a steroid you could take, you're going to be absorbed through the skin. And we all put on 20 pounds of muscle tissue, and the limits were there were no limits. That fucker be selling like gold, honestly, it really would. The idea that you can sit there and take something, does it have a stimulatory effect? Yeah, sure. You're going to feel like you've got more energy while you're sitting on your ass. But the reality of that situation is that the issue with those people tends to be lifestyle. They're eating too much crap. They're not getting enough exercise and they want to lose weight. Well, get off your ass. Do some more exercise. Eat better. Eat cleaner. Oh, I don't know what's good. Yes, you fucking do. Go to the vegetable section. Go to the meat section. Go to the fresh produce section. You know that's where the good shit is. It's not going to be preserved in a tin or whatever else. And let's imagine that there's some stimulatory effects, some fat burning, some energizing effects. Absolutely, of course, I'm not going to deny that. But my God, and I've said this, it applies to professional genetic freak bodybuilders as it does to the average Joe and a person that's listening to the show that wants to get a little bit leaner, in a little bit better shape, a little bit stronger, and so on and so forth. Put the work in, guys, clean up by the table. And you will get better results. It's really a simple and uncomplicated that. Add GW, and you'll do more work, and the diet will become more effective. And the results at the end of that will be absolutely above and beyond what they did, what they would be if you hadn't. Please note, we are not doctors, and the opinions are ours. It's our view based on our experience and views on the topic. Our podcasts are for informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment applies.